Hello, and welcome to SAP on Azure Talk. My name is Ravi Kashyap.
And I'm Nathan Weaver. And today we're going to talk about, let's call it cloud optimization, which typically means we're going to talk about optimizing costs, but I'm going to leave that a little bit open-ended. In the show notes, we're going to put out a link to what Microsoft would call the cloud optimization, and which is mostly around costs, but they give 7 ways to optimize those costs. I like them. So let's read them out real quick. One is shut down unused resources. The second one is right size underused resources. No kidding. You got to turn stuff off if you're not using it. The third one is leverage reserved instances for consistent workloads. We talk about that a lot with HANA. Number four was take advantage of the Azure hybrid benefit. Those of you who don't know, that's really a great way to leverage your licensing that you've already bought for Windows or SQL Server. Number five is configure auto scaling. Number six, set up budgets and allocate costs to teams and projects. And then number seven is choose the right Azure compute service. So Ravi, I just went through kind of the 7 things that Microsoft says, hey, look at these as optimization categories or areas, if you will. Can you help paint this picture towards an SAP environment on Azure?
What's up with cost optimization? Didn't we invent credit cards a long time ago? I like to think of this in terms of different buckets. So planning is a big bucket for me. It could resolve a lot of these issues or optimize the cost if you plan properly. So let's categorize what you said into planning versus implementation versus run buckets. I really like the idea of looking at this at a bigger picture. When you're moving SAP, you're moving other stuff too. First thing to look at is what regions do you want to be in? If you think about Azure costs, so if you're in a location where real estate is expensive, power is expensive, of course, those costs are going to be passed on to you. So if you look at different region, east versus west versus south central, each region has a little bit different cost structure, and not all VMs are available everywhere. So if you're looking for an M-series box, there's a good chance that you can find that in east and west. Also, the cost might be different in east and west. So the point of this is when you're planning which regions to choose, make sure all of your VMs are available and look at the cost of each VM to make a better decision about which one to opt for. I really like the idea of Azure hybrid benefits. They implemented hybrid benefits for Linux servers last year, which is really good. All it means is if you have a Linux server license on premises, you can just bring that to Azure instead of buying it either from Azure or from the vendors themselves. Pay-go versus reserve instances is something that you want to look for SAP specifically, because if you have a production system that's running your business, you're not going to shut down every day. So it makes a lot of sense to do reserve instances. I've also heard of people doing low-cost DR solutions, meaning you don't want to have your DR system up and available all the time. So you essentially strip down a little bit of CPU RAM and make sure only infrastructure that's up and running is essential for the replication. So if you're doing HANA replication, only things that are running is that can facilitate the replication. A couple of less discussed items would include egress cost. Everything that goes out of Azure charges you something, or even if it's between one region to another region. I don't think they have implemented the zone egress cost yet, but at some point, if you have two different machines in two different zones, you'll be paying for the data crossing the zones also. Other thing that probably my favorite one is use native tools. You're moving to Azure for a region. Why not make it cloud native? Every system needs to be backed up. So when you're moving to Azure, look into backup tools that are native to Azure, look into monitoring tools that are native to Azure. And all of this comes as a service. So there's very little licensing cost, plus your on-prem tools can either extend, of course, but cloud native way is a better way in the long term, because you'll be not only getting into those expensive licenses, but it's better integrated into the Azure fabric, like Nathan likes to call it.
Yeah, and Ravi, let's also be clear too that, what do I say? Cloud is like dog years, right? So the point to me saying that is you're always going to want to take a look at the cloud native tools. Obviously with us, we're talking about Azure, but it's kind of one of those things where you don't just want to look at it once. You're probably going to want to look at it multiple times. And Ravi, another one in the planning side, it probably could fit in the implementation side too. I do like the conversation about the Windows virtual desktop, or I'm seeing it more in large enterprise especially, but I'm sure it's down through the majors and others as well. Companies are trying to take a better approach on how they're rolling out fixes, and that whole Windows virtual desktop approach really does come with some ways to kind of optimize that environment. And Ravi, what was that other Azure the thing that we had talked about before, Azure, not Azure Automate, there's an Azure Automate. Thank you. That's another one when we talk about how are we optimizing environments. It's about getting rid of equipment, compute, and also time associated with people, right?
Exactly. In short, to say that planning can accommodate a lot of optimization things that we have talked about or what the link mentions. A lot of things that you have planned, you need still need to test. For example, if you have a storage strategy and you're not sure how much throughput you are getting or how to do the right kind of striping. So once you stripe, you should always test the performance again to make sure you're getting what you should be getting and make sure you're not over-provisioning it. Or if you are, during the testing cycle, you go back and look at the storage structure again to make sure you have the right sizing in that sense. Last week, we were talking about reserve instances flexibility group, meaning once you have the reserve instance for a VM, it could always move up and down in that flexibility group, the family size. Right? So you don't have to decide or you don't have to finalize the size of the VM. Look at what may best fit it, get the reserve instances, and make sure you add the flexibility group. Once you go add it, it will tell you which VMs belong to that flexibility group, and you can always go up and down there. A lot of times when you're doing migration for SAP, performance is a big thing, right? How much downtime the business can sustain. And one of the recommendations we always make is during the migration cycle, just upsize the VM. Get the best performance you can get by upsizing the VM, storage throughput, so the migration can happen faster. Once the migration is done, you minimize the downtime, you can right size at that point.
You did bring up one thing that I kind of heard you mention with storage before. I will say that, again, as customers evaluate where they're at, tiers of stuff, right? I mean, we always talk about you're always going to use premium storage for the SAP environment, but that doesn't mean you always have to have premium storage for storing backups if you're not using, you know, an Azure backup or something, if you've got blob storage stuck out there, or even the different service tiers around ANF. Right. So it's even evaluating if you make a decision to select something, you can even evaluate, is there a tier in whatever that something is?
Exactly. My last bucket is what I like to call run bucket, or you can say normal operations. Once you are in Azure, there's a tool called Azure Cost Management. Once you go there, it shows you the overall cost, and then you can filter based on tagging or filter based on resource. You can filter based on different regions. There are a lot of filters available there. Long story short is you should go to cost management and see what is incurring cost and how much on a monthly basis and whether that aligns with your original cost projections or not. Things you can still do in the run mode to optimize cost is snoozing is probably the biggest one. Whatever systems you don't have reserve instances for, you could shut it down when it's not in use. Not only the VM, Microsoft teams have put up some scripts on GitHub that also takes care of SAP shutdown and startup, and I'll put a link to that. The important thing there is to do the math. If you are shutting down enough to save the cost which exceeds the reserve instance cost, then it's a good idea. If not, just buy the reserve instance in there, right?
Yeah, except for Ravi, I'll go back to my saying again that I said when we were talking about auto-scaling, that cloud is elastic, but SAP isn't. But where we do see that elasticity, if you will, is the ability that, let's say at month end or at a certain year end or at a certain activity, maybe you're running a sale and there's a lot of transactions, whatever, you do have the ability to spin up and spin down application servers to give you a little bit of that elasticity. And just to give a call out, Ravi, I love that we called out the snoozing and the linkage into open framework of GitHub, which is where you can find a lot of these tools related to managing not only Azure, but SAP environments.
I like the fact that when you talk about scaling, you're mentioning scaling down also. A lot of times people think about scaling up only, like when you have a month end, add more application servers. But what do you do after the month end? Of course, shut it down. So it's important to highlight that scaling goes both way, up and down. Last thing I want to mention is right sizing. And right sizing is not a one-time thing. I know we were talking about it in the planning section. We talked about it in the implementation section. But we do need to talk about it in the operation section too, because once you have systems up in there, SAP generates early watch reports. Go look at those to see what the recommendation is. And if it turns out that the system utilization is not as much as you had projected initially, you can always optimize further. So the moral of this story is optimization is not a one-time thing. It's a constant evolution of what you can do, especially given Azure updates or releases new feature so often.
You know, of our 100,000 listeners who listen to this show on a weekly basis, or whatever the right number is, let's pretend it's 100,000. You know, I'm sure they're getting tired of our voices, let's give a little bit of a different perspective here. Moaz, say hi. Give us a couple of real-world examples of what you see with customers.
Hello, everyone. Moaz Mirza. I'm actually part of a similar team as Ravi. I am based out of US, and I help customers with their SAP and Azure needs, and I advise them on best practices when designing SAP solutions. Thank you, first of all, for inviting me, and the topics that have been laid out are good synergy into the problem statements and the real use case scenarios for customers that I will be going over. Quickly go over the first problem that we had faced with one of the customer, medium to large US-based customer, really looking to optimize the cost for their current backup solution. It's a stopgap backup solution. They had not implemented a enterprise grade backup solution at that point. And they weren't necessarily looking to transform the backup solution. They were just purely looking to optimize the cost. So that's really the first use case scenario.
So it got in and you're trying to look at what to optimize. What did you find?
Yeah, so their current state was that the customers were using a very expensive storage to house their HANA native file level backups. As you know, those HANA backups, you can save them in three different formats.
Define expensive.
So the file level backup that they were saving, it on a not a traditional low cost managed disk, but they were utilizing Azure NetApp files. And not only that, they were using Azure NetApp files solely for this purpose, they were using a higher tier Azure NetApp files. So that really was part of the problem.
So what kind of analysis did you do in terms of throughput versus what matches the requirement for the backup?
That was actually easier than in other situations, because here the customer wasn't really have the implementation of an enterprise grade backup solution. So typically a knee-jerk reaction from a cloud solution architect is, why don't we have enterprise grade backup solution? It's not just purely about cost optimization, right? It's about Azure optimization. It's about the operational efficiency. So like I mentioned, the customer wasn't really into optimizing the overall backup posture right at the moment. They did understand where they needed to go, but at the moment they needed something, a band-aid solution or something that could quickly bring their costs down. So the solution was simple. We started out with saying, okay, your long-term solution or your permanent solution definitely has to be an enterprise-grade backup solution. And Azure, we definitely have a very good certified backend solution with Azure Backup for SAP HANA. That's definitely one of the matches along with the other enterprise-grade backup solutions that we've had. But in general, what we had recommended to them was, why don't you first start with lower your performance tier on those Azure NetApp files? That's a really low-hanging fruit, keeping in mind that at certain point, at certain threshold level, after 1.2 gigabytes per second, you really max out the TCP session limit on Linux. So if you have really, really large performance tier or ultra tier, you might want to switch them out to a lower tier because you're anyways not going beyond 1.2 gigabytes of throughput.
So what were the short term and probably the longer term recommendations from our side?
So I told them, like, we do need to go and get to the enterprise grade solution. But while getting there, that's a destination. While getting there, your step one could be lower the performance tiers on Azure NetApp files. But what you can also do is, there are alternatives to a NFS-based file level solution that you could potentially have, such as Blob NFS, for example, that you can potentially try to see if that works out in your environment, because that would not require them to have a very large procedural change in their operational procedures. They can simply implement, it's a like-to-like solution for the most part, but it will have a cost optimization for them that they were looking. Stressing the point again, that in the long term, you do need to have a certain level of enterprise grade solution, and backend is really the right technology and interface for that.
Moaz, I just want to jump in here and say that this isn't the first time I've seen this configuration, right? We've seen a lot of customers, and by the way, I'm talking large enterprise, especially when they're treating SAP kind of in a silo, that they're standing it up kind of as its own spoke out of the hub that is their Azure environment. I've seen a lot of customers who will start off with this approach to say, I'm going to leverage file level backups first, and then eventually move on to something else when it makes sense. But the goal is to get the environment stood up and have SAP back it up to a file system that's out there. And then I'll back up that file system to some other environment if I need to. The one comment that I'll make, again, talking about, you know, cloud and dog years again, is that that's what's really nice about Azure Backup as a native tool. 2 years ago, or actually 3 years ago, we weren't having this conversation. A year ago, year and a half ago, yeah, it could handle 2 terabytes, and that was about it. Now it's up to handling 8 terabytes of HANA with more functions and features coming down the path. So I'm tracking right there with you that I think that this is one of those areas where people started off with a certain way, and now they're looking for ways to optimize costs. And by having those Azure native tools out there, there's other things that are coming to give them additional functionality that'll save them on costs as well. Give me another problem statement. Give me another thing that you've seen.
Absolutely. I would, but I just want to, you have brought up a really good point, Nitin, and I just want to underline that one more time before we go to the second statement. It's about, you may not need to have just one backup solution, right? Enterprise-grade backup solution is good, but while you're getting there, you may want to just have a secondary backup solution. And that could be your file-level backup, right? That you could continue to have that as an ad hoc secondary backup solution that you can potentially use as a backup or a fallback option. So that's a really good point. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be a combination of the two. So the other problem, and that could be a bit of the reverse of cost optimization, I probably would say it's more about the overall Azure posture or the overall Azure optimization, would be for a customer who was looking to downsize some of their HANA database virtual machines for non-production environment and try to keep them tightly sized.
You're saying that it started as a cost management exercise, but it turned into something else?
It's a surprise, but yes, it's counterintuitive to what we had just talked about. But in normally, you know, what we typically see with these theoretical information versus what we do when we apply in the practical situation, this is really a very practical situation. And it not only talks about cost optimization in a very practical way, it also talks about how important it is to look at the Azure optimization holistically. So this particular customer was looking to see if they can reduce the VM size. Their infrastructure operations team, non-SAP administrators, I might add, they had looked at the virtual machines and identified that the virtual machine CPU utilization was very low, though they did see some sustained peaks for maximum CPUs, but in general, the CPU was very low and they had recommended to reduce the size. That's how it started.
Okay, so when you got in, how did you approach it and what did you find?
So the very first thing when I hear the HANA virtual machine optimization is the first question is how much memory is being utilized, right? So they had not looked into that, or at least the combination of effort that was required from both application administrators as well as infrastructure administrators were not at the level where they needed to be combined together. So we actually work with both the teams working together as a team to identify and marry up the telemetry that we were getting at the Azure level and try to see if it makes sense at the application level. And when I say application level, I mean HANA cockpit or HANA studio or in general HANA level telemetry. What we found was a very different problem, not necessarily related to the Azure cost optimization, but was more of the infrastructure optimization that was really required in the first place there.
Okay, so you're essentially saying that people are not talking to each other. How often does that happen?
I'm generally not surprised, but in general, what we have seen, what this Azure transformation or in general cloud transformations have done, it has merged a lot of roles together. So previously, it used to be that the teams would be working in silos. Nowadays, with Azure and with cloud modernizations, a lot of these teams have multiple roles. They wear multiple hats. So it's actually not very, very common to see something like that. I think we were being very proactive, and I'm sure this would have eventually happened, that those teams would work together. I think the things were that we were proactively looking into the situation. So it was very early in the stage.
What were our recommendations in this situation after you did the analysis and found the problem?
The actual problem wasn't even about the virtual machine sizing. It was more about the CPU being low, but memory being very highly utilized, about 80 to 90% being utilized. And that was the key metric that was missed out in the assessment, initial assessment, I would say. And when we looked into the overall configuration, we identified that the storage configuration was just not optimal. And when you're talking optimal, you mean, you know, it's not meeting SAP's recommendation. It's not meeting the caching recommendation. It's not meeting the write accelerator recommendation for log drive, for example.
Got it.
So the very recommendation was, let's fix this. That might alleviate some of your CPU sustained peaks, and then perform capacity planning. Identify what do you actually need purely as a function of memory, not just as a function of CPUs, and then identify the right balance between how much tight size you want to go, but you're definitely looking at potentially upsizing this VM than downsizing the VM.
Got it. You know how our CEO Satya Nadella often talks about customer experience. So how would you frame this in that context? How was the customer experience when we looked into this and kind of empowered them to make decisions and optimize it going forward?
My answer to that is the real value that we get from it is how groups work together, right? How a partner or a customer or associated teams work together to find the solution, right? One team identify a problem, but there are groups of teams that come together to fix the problem is really where we see the power of the cloud modernization, the power of groups working together as one unit to provide the customer with the right solutions and right recommendations. Also, it's just a reaffirmation of what is happening in the marketplace, right? What other customers are doing, what has been our experiences deploying a solution like that and what other customers have seen. It's always good to learn from somebody else's mistakes or somebody else's experience than to experience by them.
Absolutely. I often say that I read a lot of books because I don't want to go through the same thing that other people have. So why not learn from there?
True.
And just to pile on here, point back to one of the episodes that we recently did, it comes back to automation and why when you do automation, a lot of time that automation will have best practices baked into it. That will need to continue to obviously modify and be optimized as the cloud around it changes as well. But Moaz, you know, when I'm hearing we're evaluating and we found a problem that came from another problem, that came from another thing that somebody thought was a problem, obviously a lot of the automation comes in. A lot of where my head was going to as you were talking is, would Azure monitor where we're capturing all of the SAP telemetry to one dashboard have helped out to provide some overall guidance? It's just kind of fun for me to kind of think about the processes and the steps that you guys go through on a daily basis to try to, I don't want to say troubleshoot, but to review a customer's architecture, right? I mean, it's got to be daunting just to say, hey, how are we running, right? So in this particular case, it was an interesting story because CPU was low, but memory was high. They felt like they were oversized. What I'm hearing you say is, I mean, look, anytime you're getting to above 80% of HANA utilization, you're hitting a threshold there. You probably need to think about go bigger. So did you actually recommend they go bigger here?
What I recommended was to perform a capacity planning that also includes archiving strategy too, right? So if you're 80%, do you have a lot of archiving to take care of before you could be, let's say, 40 or 50%? So the whole idea was, why don't we go back and identify what your needs are and then identify whether you need to increase your VM size or you're okay with the current size, or potentially, if you have a very aggressive archiving strategy, you may end up downsizing, which is really a benefit and a win-win situation.
I like the idea about archiving, Moaz. And to that extent, I would say if you're going to do archiving, do it before moving to Azure.
Absolutely.
In the planning phases, that cuts down the database size right in the beginning.
We're going to have to do a show on archiving, guys, because I have a different view too, because is archiving mean I'm purging data? Or does it mean that I'm capturing documents and holding it external or moving it to a lower storage level or storage tier? Am I going to cold storage versus warm versus hot? Anyway, we can get into a whole bunch of conversations there. The point is you have to evaluate the environment. And Moaz, thanks for coming on today, because we wanted to provide another voice to give some other experiences that you have had to be able to share with our listeners. The one takeaway that I had, Ravi, even listening to how you're talking too, is when we get into conversations about managed services, if you've heard me get on my soapbox about that before, I like to think of it in terms of three groups, right? There's cloud managed services, there's a basis layer of managed services, and then there's the SAP functional layer of managed services. And there are times where you've got to bring all three groups together to understand the overall situation. Because if you look at things from your own perspective, it may not take into account the overall environment. And that's why when we introduced what we're going to be talking about today, it was more of cloud optimization versus just cost optimization. You blur some of those things together. And in many ways, when you're optimizing for the cloud, your costs should go down, but not necessarily always. Ravi, yeah, exactly. Any parting words?
Yeah, my takeaway from this is always look at what you're spending your money on. So the example that I take is, even though I have multiple credit cards that I buy stuff with, always look at the credit card statement at the end of the month to see what did I spend money on and whether I could optimize that. Take that to cloud and make sure you're evaluating constantly on what you're spending money on and whether it still makes sense.
Ravi, do you have that same view for gift cards?
I don't have any gift cards. I'm willing to accept it from you, though.
Moaz, Ravi, thank you very much. Look forward to next time.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.